brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.
The unique perspective I think I have is that I've been on that field and I know what they want to do to get back onto the field and what they have to do now from a medical standpoint.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Football Fridays in Georgia Beyond the Lights podcast. I'm your host, Hannah Gooden. Join us each month as we pull back the curtain to find out what really goes into making high school sports in Georgia so successful. From head coaches to concession stand operators, I want to find out how the magic is made. Today's topic is football health and safety, and this is something that all sports coaches, parents, future sports parents, friends, and family should hear, especially as we enter the hottest time of year. We have someone special joining us today. That is Dr. Stephen Brown. He specializes in orthopedics and sports medicine for the Rome Orthopedic Center. But he's so much more than just orthopedics. He's also on-field doctor for Darlington School, and we chose to talk to him because he has a background in all things football. He played football for Princeton University, where he was a starting linebacker and defensive end for the 1992 Ivy League championship team. And he's also served as the team physician to the Carolina Panthers, the Charlotte Knight AAA team, UNC Charlotte, Davidson College, UAB, and others. And he's also a football parent, so this guy knows his stuff. Dr. Brown, thank you so much for taking the time out of your very busy schedule to join us today.
Thank you, Hannah. Appreciate you letting me join in, and thank you for all you guys do at GPP as well.
Well, thank you. This is such an important topic, and we hope that coaches and parents and family members who are listening today can really learn some of these health and safety tips from your perspective. So let's start by talking about what you do and what's your role on the field.
Yeah, so I basically have been on a sideline on Friday nights for my entire life. And as a team physician, what we do ideally is nothing but hang out and talk to the trainer and just make sure everything runs smoothly. We do make decisions on some players who are injured about going back into the game that night, if it's safe for them to return to play, or if they need to be held out, further evaluated. You know, sometimes there are injuries that need to be triaged to a local facility for further treatment. And so a lot of what we do is just kind of on-the-field decision-making on how to treat injuries. And hopefully, the best-case scenario is we walk away from that game and no one's been injured. We had to do no work.
Yes, that's always the ultimate goal. You're a football parent. So what do you think that coaches and other parents need to be doing to keep their kids healthy, especially it's going to be 98 degrees this week, and kids are out there practicing and playing. What advice do you have?
So, well, there's a couple things. Number one, you need to be acclimated to the heat. So it's difficult if you spend all your day indoors and then just walk out and then you go full tilt for 2 hours. And you need to be kind of being outside doing things, getting acclimated to the heat when you're not exerting yourself. But the biggest thing you need to be doing is hydrating. And you need to have, when it's really hot like it is now and, you know, temperatures are 98 plus, you need to be hydrating the whole day. Start drinking water in the morning throughout the day. And if you do workouts that are 60 minutes plus, you've lost a lot of sweat and electrolytes. You need to do some electrolyte replacement, whether, you know, some of the sports drinks are good. Just try to avoid ones that are all sugar. Even things like the mixes you can put in the waters, like liquid IV. Yeah, that's good electrolyte replacement. You want to be putting potassium and carbs back into your body. Salt, that kind of thing. Yeah.
That's some great advice. As a former high-level player, does that give you insight? Or what type of insight does that give you when it comes to working with these kids?
Yeah, so the unique perspective I think I have is that I've been on that field, and I know what they want to do to get back onto the field and what they have to do now from a medical standpoint. But I can also triage those players pretty efficiently and also have conversations with the coaches about what to expect. That's one of the bigger things, is being that middleman between the player and his parents and the coach. And you're saying, you know, coaches want to come back as quickly as possible, obviously, within a safe, in a safe manner. And that's our job, is to give both parents, players, and coaches a reasonable expectation. Like, this is an injury that's going to take 2 weeks, okay? So you can take him out for that amount of time, and we're going to work him back in slowly. Or this is going to be a six-week injury or a five-day injury. But that's kind of – that's one of the most important things we do, is some kids want to get out there right now on an injury that they can't safely get out there on, and you have to pull back on the reins a little bit for them, you know?
Absolutely. What types of injuries do you see the most, and what are some of the things that you see that can help prevent these types of injuries?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we see a lot of knee injuries. Obviously, ACL is always the feared injury, and we see quite a few of those. I played football in college, and I can remember two people in high school or college tearing their ACLs. And you could go to any high school sideline this year, and there's going to be at least two just that 1 year. So there's been a lot more of that that's taken place. You know, I played 30-plus years ago. It's been a while. But knee injuries are common, shoulder injuries are common, ankle sprains are common. And I think one thing that can help with all these is to cross-train. You know, you hear a lot about it's playing one sport only. I think it's important to play multiple sports to get your, the more times your body is in a position where it has to recover from a hit or being in an odd position as far as like landing from a jump. If somebody hits you and you land awkwardly on one leg, if you don't have the core strength and the hip strength that you might have gained potentially from another sport to land that, then you're at an increased chance to get injured. And I think playing multiple sports and using your body in different ways throughout the course of the year really can protect you from injury.
It's probably why you see a lot of football players doing track and field as well. I can see how that would be super beneficial.
Yeah.
What's the most extreme injury or extreme thing that you've seen a high school kid bounce back from?
All right. Well, this is I've seen a terrible injury. This was back around 2012. It was at Cedartown. We cover multiple high schools, and I'm at Cedartown, Rockmart, Unity, Darlington, and some of the colleges. But this was a Cedartown kid, and he had a severe head injury. And when I say severe, it was one of those that you see usually from a motor vehicle accident. And we had to rush him to the hospital. He had emergency craniectomy that night. And ultimately, he did fine without any significant deleterious effects. But that's the kind of injury that you can die from. I mean, what he ended up having was a second hit syndrome, where he had a concussion a week to 10 days before, but didn't tell anybody. Nobody was aware of him having symptoms. He continued to have headaches and had a second big blow during the game. Earlier in the game, he kept playing again, didn't tell anybody, and then he just falls out. And he's posturing on the sidelines. The entire game stopped. We're just trying to keep this kid alive. And loaded him onto the ambulance, drove him to the field. And I called the Floyd Hospital here. Fortunately, we have really good medical facilities here in Rome. Called a neurosurgeon buddy of mine. I was like, dude, this guy's got a real injury. He's going to need something very quickly. And they got a CT, rushed him to surgery, and basically saved his life by doing that. And he's back working now. He never played football again, which is fine. He was a junior at that time, but the kid's alive and working, and he finished school. He went to college. and I think he's in anesthesia assistant school right now.
Wow! So talk about bounce back. Yeah, that's a great. Unfortunate, but great ending to that story.
Yeah, terrible injury, but you know, that's pretty rare. Seeing one of those kind of things. Usually, it's a lot less life threatening than that.
Do you have any advice for getting kids to be honest about these types of injuries to bring awareness? Like, hey, you need to sit out a little bit longer. I know that that's tough for kids, especially in high school, but how can we get them to be more vocal about it?
Well, I think you just have to maintain open conversations and have a, you know, we're fortunate here. We have a lot of really good trainers at our schools, and the trainers know if a kid's not acting right. The trainers also have personal relationships with the kids, and they, a lot of times, the players will have more confidence in talking to the trainer than anybody else, and that's a very big part of it, is just having them feel comfortable around the trainers to open up and be like, hey, I got headaches that aren't going away, or you know, my knee is not quite where it needs to be, and you also have to have a trainer that realizes, hey, this is a kid that's going to not be 100% honest with me, and I gotta make him go a little further maybe before he gets back on the field. But the trainers are a big part of this whole thing. Yeah.
Are you happy with helmet safety and concussion protocol? What's your perspective on that?
So I think helmet safety has improved drastically, obviously, in the past 20 years, 30 years. The NFL do testing nonstop each year. They come out, test different helmets. I think Rydell the Rydell Axiom helmet's a good helmet. It's top of the line kind of thing. Zenith makes good helmets. There's a lot of good helmets out there. They've made a lot of good improvements there. They also have the Guardian shells that have been used for practice purposes. And I think that's shown a pretty good 50% reduction or so in concussions. Helmet safety has improved a lot. And also some of the rule changes they're making in the game as far as targeting and things like that. Basically, rugby tackling instead of leading with your head. When I played, it was, you know, lead with your head, get it across the body. Now it's come in from behind, do a rugby tackle. It's a lot safer for your head.
Are there any other rules or any other safety protocols that you would like to see implemented for this upcoming season, like immediately?
It's hard to implement changes immediately, but I will say this. I think, and this is a tough, I don't know how, you know, coaches feel about this, but there are a lot of injuries that occur on kickoffs, kickoff return, punt return. I mean, it's a situation where you get kids running wide open down the field, having to make a last-second adjustment to plant, twist, and turn. And you're also having people trying to block you potentially when you're in a very vulnerable position at full speed. I think we could tweak the kickoff and punt situation somehow to make it a little safer. That'd be the biggest thing I'd see.
No, I could totally see that. That's definitely something where a lot of injuries are caused. Well, you're a football parent, right?
Yeah, well, my kids, I have three boys.
Yeah.
And they have all played at various times in their career, and I actually coached for a bit as well when they were in Pee Wee and younger ages.
That's so fun.
Yeah.
When did you start them in football, and how were you able to keep your own kids safe in such a tough sport like football?
Well, they started basically when they came to me and said they wanted to play. I didn't push them into it, nor did I push them away from it. It's one of those things where I think if a kid wants to play football, then he can play football. I mean, there's a lot of debate over when do you start them, you know, first grade, fifth grade, whatever. I think it varies from kid to kid and family to family. And there's no right or wrong answer as far as I know. I don't know that we have data that shows, you know, effects of playing football from early ages and what happens later in life. So, For my kids, when they came to me and said, I want to play football this year, I was like, great, let's go play. And they didn't they all didn't play all the way through high school. And they got to the point, they were like, yeah, it's not my favorite sport. I'd rather do these other things. Yeah. I'm like, okay, do that. Because football is a sport. It's very violent. It's very chaotic. And if your heart is not in it, then you might want to do something different. You know, it's because you can get injured in football. And if you're out there concerned about injury or concerned about other things, or you're thinking, I might not want to be out there, then, you know, you want to think about other sports, which is fine. I mean, team sports are awesome.
Yeah.
They're all good, you know. But football is one that you really need to be in 100%.
Yeah, to take the risks out there, especially in the heat. Well, what are some of the most important practices for these young kids to start getting repetition on to be healthier and safer? I know you said hydration, but is there just something that a short list that kids can keep in their mind to remember to help them?
Well, I think it's always good to weigh in and weigh out before and after practices, you know?
Oh, wow.
You can keep a pretty good check on your hydration level by doing that. If you're losing weight over the course of a few days, like significant weight, like generally, I know when I was in college, we'd weigh in. If we lost more than 2% body weight over the course of a practice or two, well, they would hold us out or just make us drink water until we got back to where we needed to be. So keeping a keen check on your body weight during the training, having a hydration schedule, like I'm going to drink a liter of water before 10 o'clock and going through that each day and just being cognizant of how much you're drinking. And also when you eat food, you can get hydration through that. You know, fruits, watermelon, oranges, other things like that, they have fluid in them. That's a good way to hydrate as well. And I think also being aware, if you're in the middle of practices, two-a-days or one-a-days, usually coaches are going to put those early in the day, late in the afternoon. You know, if you know you're going to be out there sweating, then in the middle of the day when it's super hot, take some time out and out the heat. You know, don't go out and exert yourself or go to the pool and just be out in the sun all day when you know you're going to be out there later.
Well, Dr. Brown, this is such amazing and important advice. Unfortunately, my husband was one of those that had so many concussions during football. He was pulled out of the sport. He chose other favorite sport, baseball. So this is just so important for coaches and family and parents to hear this stuff, especially in the heat. So we just cannot thank you enough for being here and sharing all of your extensive knowledge on this topic.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
We'll be back with another episode of Football Fridays in Georgia Beyond the Lights and our regular football podcast with John Nelson and I in just a couple of weeks. Don't forget, you can watch the video version of all of our podcasts on our GBB Sports YouTube channel. Thanks for listening.
Brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.